A famous Jack Armstrong champion adventure story. Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong!
Jack Armstrong! The all-American boy. Brought to you by Wheaties, breakfast of champions. Why don't you eat Wheaties? Champions do. Why don't you? And now Wheaties presents Jack Armstrong in another of his new complete adventures. Today's half-hour story... Clear the tracks. Great secrecy has surrounded the operations in Laboratory K of the Advanced Chemical Corporation. It has been rumored that this great company has spent millions of dollars on an experimental rocket unit, which they intend to test in the near future. The fact that this fragment of information has leaked out has prompted the management to call on the Scientific Bureau of Investigation to protect the valuable invention. If the proposed tests are successful, the United States will have a powerful new power plant for rocket ships and controlled missiles. This revolutionary rocket unit has excited the interest of some of our leading scientists, and they have accepted invitations to attend the demonstration. A private train has been chartered to take these important men and the machine to the testing grounds.
Remember, Joseph, the invention is not important to us. We will eventually get the plans for that. The important thing at the moment is that chartered train.
I thought that was why you called me.
Of course. How long have you been receiving money from us, Joseph?
Ever since the strike ended. About 7 months.
And in all that time, you haven't done a day's work, have you?
No, I haven't been in the cab of an engine since they fired me, but I've been helping you.
And... Yes, yes. You've been contacting railroad men, showing them the benefits of our plan. But that missionary propaganda's hardly been worth the money we've been paying you. Now, has it?
What are you driving at, Mr. Walgo?
How would you like to be the engineer of that chartered train?
If I said yes?
You would become a very valuable man to us. You would be able to help our cause. By the worried look...
You want me to wreck that train, don't you?
There will be 40 or 50 scientists on that train, men who are important cogs in the machine age, inventors who are responsible for labor-saving devices.
You mean machines that put men out of work?
The inventors will be on that train, Joseph.
What do you want me to do?
Take the place of the regular engineer. You see, this train is going to make a nonstop run to that testing ground. It'll have a clear track all the way. You'll be at the throttle. Don't ask me how. We'll take care of that. You'll obey all regulations until you get to this section of the country here. Look at this map.
Oh, the mountain run.
That's right. You'll take the train up in those mountains and then...
Open the throttle and jump.
Yes. But first you'll have to make sure that certain equipment on the engine is out of order. This bottle of acid takes about 3 hours to eat through a 1-inch steel rod. This acid is poured on strategic parts. Well, you know what would happen.
All together now.
Another one like that, men, and she'll be off the truck. Together now.
Here we go.
The crate's all the way in the railway car now, Jack.
Okay, you can take that truck away from there now. Now, if you fellas will climb up in the railroad car, we'll push this thing to the forward end and anchor it in place.
Why do we have to anchor it, Jack?
Gee whiz, this thing's so heavy it'll never slide around.
It'd crash right through the end of the boxcar if the train had to stop suddenly, Billy. And don't forget, this is the only machine of its kind in the entire world.
Okay, Jack, you sold me. Let's go, guys. Push it forward to where those big bolts come through the floor. We have to anchor it to the undercarriage of this car.
Jack. Hey, Jack, how are you coming?
Oh, hi, Vic.
Almost set. What time's the train pull out?
Wait a second till I get up in there.
That train leaves in about 5 minutes, Jack.
Oh, we'll have it anchored in place before then.
Come on, give us a hand, will you?
Sure.
All together now, men. Yeah. Come on. Sure.
You should have put some rollers under those skids, Jack.
We didn't think it was going to be this heavy. Oh, we can make it. We have enough manpower here.
All right, once again, fellas.
That's good, guys. That's good. All right there.
Is it in place, Billy?
Right on the dot.
All right, men. Thanks a lot. We'll take care of fastening it down.
Okay, Jack.
So long, guys. Glad you came along right ahead to push that in myself.
Well, we got their precious rocket engine safely aboard, didn't we, Jack?
Yeah, and in a couple of days, our worries will be all over. Mr. Williamson was back here a few minutes ago. Complimented us on the way we handled this assignment so far.
Yeah, he said not even the guys who drove the truck out here knew what was in that crate.
That's fine.
He's enthused about the wonderful turnout of scientists.
Yeah, there must be 50 or 60 of them on the train.
Hey, if we're going to pull out of here in 5 minutes, we better get this thing anchored down, Jack.
You can get started, Billy.
Okay. Do we have to fasten all these bolts?
Yeah, Billy, this engine weighs over a ton. If it broke loose and slid back into those drums of fuel, it'd be quite an explosion. Vic, I still think it was a mistake to load those barrels of fuel in this car.
No chance of their breaking loose, is there?
No, but... Well, if we get the engine fastened down securely, I don't suppose there's any danger. By the way, did our agents check the personnel on the train?
Yeah, Jack, they're all trustworthy. Our engineer's made this run hundreds of times. Says he knows every inch of the roadbed. Betty and I were talking to him just a few moments ago.
Hey, where's Betty now?
She went back to our private car. I wanted her to check with the office to make sure our Arizona headquarters has enough men out at the testing grounds.
How'll she get in touch with the office?
I had a portable radio unit loaded aboard this morning. I want to keep in touch with things. I really shouldn't be making this trip with you, but I want to see how this revolutionary rocket engine performs. It's hard to believe any piece of machinery that size could develop the force they claim for it.
Hey, there goes the siren whistle. Come on, Jack.
Okay, Billy. We'll meet you back in the car, Vic.
I'll be with Mr. Williamson. That's the car ahead of ours.
Okay. Should be an interesting trip talking to all those scientists.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. See you later, Jack.
Step on it, Jack. Step on it. Starting to gather speed.
It's not going very fast, Billy. Be careful when you swing aboard.
Now,
this is our car approaching. This better stop right here. They still have the door well open. There's Betty. We'll make it, Betty. Don't worry.
Come on, Jack. Come on. Get on.
Make room for me there, Jack. Make room for me.
Well, for goodness sake, Billy, hurry up. Oh, I never thought you two would make it. What kept you so long?
Oh, we had a little trouble locking the door on that boxcar.
But you sealed up plenty tight now, aren't you?
I'll say. Well, come on, let's get inside. The conductor wants to close the stairwell. What do you think, Betty?
Inside this car, he's talking to Mr. Williamson of the Advanced Chemical Corporation.
I'll get the door, Betty.
Boy, I'm going to wash up. Look at my hands. Look at yours, too, Jack.
I didn't realize they were that dirty. Tell Vic we'll join him in a few minutes, Betty.
All right, Jack. You better wash that face of yours, too, Billy. You have a smudge of grease alongside your nose.
Okay, okay.
When we get washed up, we can relax a little, Billy, and have some fun on this trip.
If we can relax, it'll be the first time. I'll bet before we get halfway to Arizona, something happens.
What could happen, Billy?
Well, how about a spy?
There are no spies aboard this train, Billy.
How about a holdup?
I doubt it. We have a clear track all the way to the testing grounds. This is a nonstop run, and we know there are no holdup men aboard the train now.
Okay, no spies, no holdup men. But I'll bet before we get halfway out there, something will happen. Flat tire, or maybe we'll run out of coal.
Got a thing in the world to worry about, Grace. Everyone thinks the regular engineer is running this engine.
Yeah, I know they do now. But what if they find those two guys?
The boss will make sure they don't find them. Everything went off just as he planned, didn't it?
Yeah, I never thought we'd make it. He's plenty smart, ain't he?
Plenty. And he's liberal, too.
What do you mean, he's liberal? The party's liberal. The dough we get doesn't come from him.
All right, so what difference does it make? We get it, don't we? All we gotta do is carry out our job. And this time it's a cinch. Obey all signals until we get to the mountain area, and then... Well, the worst we can get out of it is a sprained ankle.
Or a broken leg. Are you sure they'll come to pick us up?
They'll pick us up, all right. We'll be all in one piece. I can't say as much for the rest of the passengers on this train. Oh, crossing up ahead. Better give them a whistle.
On with our champion adventure story in exactly 1 minute and 50 seconds. So stay right there. Listen. You're practically sitting in at the training table with Yul Blackwell when you have Wheaties in the morning. You betcha. Because champion pitcher Blackwell of the Cincinnati Reds is a big Wheaties eater. And he recommends those good whole wheat flakes to you. So latch onto this big league star's advice and have Wheaties at breakfast tomorrow, okay? Yes, Yul Blackwell's a Wheaties eater, all right, a veteran Wheaties eater. He's been enjoying those toasty whole wheat flakes at breakfast for over 12 years. And, says Champion Blackwell, on the days when I know I'm going to pitch, that's when I really go to town on the Wheaties. Look, Yul Blackwell is a big league star, a real champion. You, well, you want to be a champion too. So have the training dish Yul Blackwell eats and recommends. Have milk, fruit, and Wheaties, breakfast of champions. Now, if you like good things to eat, you'll like Wheaties. Like them a lot. Because Wheaties are awfully, awfully good. They're flakes, crackly golden flakes with a wonderful, wonderful flavor. Plenty nourishing, too, Wheaties. They're flakes of 100% whole wheat. Full up with vitamins, minerals, and food energy. A kind of nourishment that'll help you perform like a champion. What's that? You say you're heading for your grocer's and some Wheaties right now? Okay, swell. And while you're at it, better pick up a couple of packages. A couple of those orange and blue packages of Wheaties Breakfast of Champions. Now on with our champion Jack Armstrong adventure story. The fate of over 100 people aboard that speeding train is in the hands of two unscrupulous men, the engineer and fireman. These two men, workers of a subversive group, intend to sabotage the engine and desert it when they get high up in the mountains. A great number of the country's leading scientists are aboard this chartered train, going to the Arizona testing grounds to witness the performance of a revolutionary engine invented by the Advanced Chemical Corporation. Little do they know that at this moment they are living on borrowed time. And unless someone finds out what's wrong, time will run out for all of them in a few hours.
Gee whiz, Mr. Williamson, we're alone. I don't see why you can't tell us now. Are you gonna put that rocket engine on a spaceship? Is that what the test is gonna be?
What gave you the idea it was a rocket engine, Billy?
What gave me the idea? Well, that's all we've been talking about.
I understood that it was a rocket unit. Well, it is, in a way. It's a super thrust turbojet.
What in the world is that?
A gas turbine.
Oh, I thought this was something new.
We've invented a revolutionary steel flow compressor, which will withstand the terrific heat and centrifugal force demanded of it. And we've combined certain principles of the ramjet with the turbojet.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Our engine weighs less than one-third as much as a reciprocating engine of equal power. You see, the Advance develops over 8,000 horsepower at cruising speed, 600 miles an hour. We have a plane waiting for us at the testing grounds. We'll install the engine and have a trial at supersonic speed.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Now, most of the scientists on the train are interested in learning how we have tempered our ceramic linings to give them strength enough to take the centrifugal forces involved.
Boy, you're talking way over my head.
And Mr. Williamson means that ceramics will take a lot more heat than metal. You see, Billy, the constant 1,400-degree temperatures burn out the metals in a turbojet. But up until now, only metal could withstand the centrifugal force of the speeding compressor. Isn't that right, Mr. Williamson?
That's exactly right. We learned how to temper ceramics to give them almost the same strength as steel through a secret process.
I'll understand what you're talking about when I see it perform. Hey, have you licked all the other problems of the turbojet?
Not quite all of them, Billy, but a good many of them. We feel sure that our advanced engine will give a pilot the perfect control he needs for takeoff, flight, and landing operations. A good many countries would like to learn the secrets we've incorporated in our engine.
I'll bet there are.
Oh, Vic, I forgot to tell you. The report from the Arizona office of the FBI said they'd have plenty of operatives out at the testing grounds.
Well, thanks, Betty. I just took that extra precaution, Mr. Williamson. We've had reports that planes have been flying over that section. I gave instructions to make sure the air was clear for the test.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the thorough job you've done. I can't see any reason why our test shouldn't be a complete success. The engine's ready. We have one of the best test pilots in the business and the full cooperation of your fine organization.
Plus a chartered train and a nonstop run to the testing grounds. But I still say
that... Billy can't understand anything going off as smoothly as this assignment has so far, Mr. Williamson.
He's always looking on the dark side of things.
Well, I was worried a few days ago, Billy. But now that we're on our way, my mind is completely at ease.
I can't see any reason to worry either, Billy. But I think we better get back to our own car and let Mr. Williamson have some rest.
I was just going to suggest that. I'm awfully tired.
All right. I'll see you first thing in the morning. We can have breakfast here in my car.
Hey, that's swell.
All right, Mr. Williamson. We'll see you then.
I'll ask you to explain those ceramic liners and bucket plates on the turbine wheel tomorrow, Mr. Williamson.
I'll be glad to tell you what I know about them. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Williamson. The
train's really clipping along. We should be almost there by morning. Night.
Good night, Jack.
Night.
I am...
Nice people. Well, I better ring for the porter and turn in. Until a few days ago, I was plenty worried about that engine. And now that we're on our way to the testing ground, nothing more to worry about.
Headlight of the speeding train probes ahead, snatch ribbons of steel out of the darkness, thrusting them under the heavy wheels to be ground into shadows for the wandering night to consume. Mile after mile, the iron monster roars its challenge to space. Hour after hour, it cleaves its way through rain, snow, and wind. Dawn finds it charging into the foothills of the western mountain range.
Come on, wake up. We're coming to the mountains.
Yeah. Okay, Greg. Fold up and get a few hours sleep yourself. I'll take over.
Hey, didn't you say it'd take about 3 hours for that acid to do its work?
That's right. I'll take care of things and I'll wake you up in plenty of time. Don't worry.
The only thing I'm worrying about is being picked up. Are you sure the boss will have a car waiting for us at Twin Peaks?
He never slips up on anything. Now go on, get some shut-eye. Twin Peaks is still a long ways off. About 4 hours, I'd say. We should get there just about 9 o'clock. Then there's a 40-mile run on a nice steep grade. Those scientists back there ought to get the thrill of their lives. Their last thrill. Go on, get some sleep.
Slice of that ham, Jack.
Of course, Billy. Want another egg, too?
Well, if there's an extra one there, yeah.
Betty must have overslept. It's 8:30.
I knocked on her door as I passed through the car.
Oh, let her sleep. It'll do her good.
Yeah, but she's missing a lot of beautiful mountain scenery. Hey, we're still going up, aren't we?
Yes, but we should hit the downgrade in another half hour or so.
Well, it's about time.
Come on, Betty. We kept some food warm for you. There's your favorite cereal.
Oh, and I'm as hungry as a wolf. I'm sorry I'm late for breakfast.
Think nothing of it, sis. I got an extra egg because you were late.
We're up in the mountains, aren't we? There's plenty of snow out there. Goodness, what time is it?
Well, it's about... Oh, wait a second. It's exactly 8:40.
Then we're running a little ahead of schedule. We should come to Twin Peaks in about 10 minutes. You can see for miles off into the valley from up there, Betty.
Oh, good. I'll try to get a few snapshots.
They'll be all blurred like the last ones you took from the train.
Oh.
Boy, we're really clipping along through this uphill grade. Oh, will it matter if we get to the testing grounds early, Vic?
I wouldn't worry about that, Billy. The engineer will slow down and lose the time we've gained. Oh, by the way, Betty, did you call the SBI this morning?
No, I didn't, Vic. I'll radio them right after breakfast.
Well, if you folks will excuse me, I'm going to walk ahead to the boxcar and make sure that turbojet engine's still anchored securely. I'm still a little concerned about those tanks of fuel.
I'll go with you, Jack.
Oh, your worries will all be over in a few minutes, Jack. As soon as we get down out of these mountains, we'll have a flat roadbed all the rest of the way.
Well, that'll be a comfort. Come on, Billy.
Betty Fairfield calling Edwards of the SBI. Come in, Mr. Edwards.
It's strange you don't get an answer. I told him to have someone standing by for our call at all times.
Hello, Betty Fairfield, aboard experimental train. This is Edwards. Is Vic Hardy around?
Hello, Mr. Edwards. We've been trying to reach you for the past 25 minutes.
I've been trying to reach you for the last 8 hours. Is Vic Hardy there?
Let me have it, Betty. Hello, Edwards. This is Vic Hardy speaking. What's wrong?
I've been calling you every 15 minutes since last night. I sent planes out to intercept you.
Why, Edwards? Why?
A few hours after the train left here, our men picked up that agent we've been following, Welgo.
Finally nabbed him, huh?
Yes, we nabbed him and two of his gangsters. But get this, Vic. They had the two engineers for your train bound and gagged in the back of their car.
Oh, dear.
What? Are you sure?
Positive, Vic. Two of Walgo's men are at the throttle of your train. I thought you'd be wrecked long before this. Where are you?
Up in the mountains, Edwards. We just passed Twin Peaks a few minutes ago. We're on a downgrade leading to the tower of...
Dick! Dick!
Quiet, Billy!
Dick, Betty, you gotta listen. We're on a runaway train.
What do you mean, Billy?
Dick, we just came from the engine. There's no one in the cab. Jack's trying his best to slow the train down, but there's something wrong with all the controls.
Dick Hardy, the train is running wild.
We're gaining speed every second, Vic.
Betty, stand by this radio. Don't leave it for a second. Tell Edwards to contact the radio. To clear the tracks. We're out of control.
We'll continue with our exciting Jack Armstrong champion adventure story in just a few moments.
If you want to be the star of your baseball team this spring, remember, time's a-wasting. You'd better get yourself in shape, so hurry up.
Take a tip from champion pitcher Ewell Blackwell of the Cincinnati Reds. Get started with Jack Armstrong's training program and begin eating Wheaties today. Now, if you've ever seen Ewell Blackwell in action, you'll know why I say he's a real champion. Blackie's a big, rangy six-footer, 6 feet, 6 inches, and every inch an athlete. His sharp-breaking curve and whipping fastball brought him 22 victories last year. In fact, Blackwell pitched the only no-hit, no-run game in the National League, and there's proof, solid proof, that Ewell Blackwell's brand of training gets results, right? Okay, then listen. I've been following a training program like Jack Armstrong's for some time, says Ewell. Those three training rules are right for any athlete. What's more, my favorite training dish, milk, fruit, and Wheaties, is included. Now, there you have it, straight from Champion Blackwell, so take his suggestion, won't you? Get started with Jack Armstrong's training rules right away. You'll find them easy to follow, especially rule number 3, the one calling for plenty of Wheaties at breakfast. Have Wheaties tomorrow morning, a whopping big bowlful with milk and fruit. I'm willing to bet you'll really go for that famous Wheaties flavor. It's terrific. And Wheaties are good for you, nourishing. They're flakes of 100% whole wheat. Remember, it's Wheaties you want. Wheaties, breakfast of champions. Now on with our famous Jack Armstrong champion adventure story. Jack and his friends are aboard a runaway train high up in the mountains. There's a 40-mile grade of twisting, turning tracks ahead of them as the engine pulls a long string of cars toward sure destruction, unless Jack or Vic Hardy can find some way to stop the train.
What's wrong, Jack? Why can't you break the engine?
The controls are shut, Vic. Look, metal eaten away by acid. Can't even shut off the steam. The engineer and fireman must have jumped when we got to Twin Peaks.
That's right, Jack. We just got a radio message from headquarters. Two saboteurs were in this engine cab. They found the real engineer and his helper when Edwards captured the man who planned all this.
We're gaining speed every second, Vic. Who did they capture?
Walgo, the man we've been trying to find for 6 months.
Well, that won't help us now. We have to figure out some way of stopping this train, Vic. Some way. This engine's useless.
Can't you get air to the brakes on the cars?
Oh, Vic, that's been sabotaged, too.
I shouted to everyone to man the handbrakes as I ran through the train. They may help.
They'll never stop the train on this downgrade. Vic, I have an idea. That turbojet engine that's in the boxcar back to tender.
Yeah, Jack, what about it?
It's anchored to the undercarriage of that boxcar.
Hey, Jack, Vic, can't you stop it?
Billy, go back and get Mr. Williamson. Bring him forward to the boxcar where the turbojet engine is.
And hurry, Billy, hurry.
Yeah, but... Okay. I'll ask you about it later. I'll get him right away. Gee whiz, are we trapped?
I see what you mean, Jack. Get the turbojet engine started. Use the thrust of the jet as a brake.
Exactly, Vic. Williamson said it develops over 8,000 horsepower. If it doesn't stop us, it should slow us down enough so we can take the curves ahead. Vic, grab that coil of steam hose and take it back to the boxcar. We'll have to have some way of getting fuel to that engine.
Oh, I hope it's ready to run.
We only have a few minutes to connect it up, Jack.
Okay, I have the hose.
Now, what are you going to do?
Cut this engine free from the rest of the train and hope it pulls far enough away from the rest of the cars to give us an open space for the turbojet to hit the roadbed. Come on, let's go!
You men with those axes, get to work on that front end of the car! Chop an opening for that afterburner!
Where's Mr. Williamson?
Let's fall to here, Jack. Get this crate off the engine. Every second counts. Williamson will be here in a few moments. He was in the last car with Betty.
Listen to the click of those wheels, Vic. We must be doing 75 or 80 miles an hour. Thank goodness that engine pulled ahead of us. You get that other side, Vic. I'll get this one. Forget the screws. Pry the boards off.
Okay, Jack. That'll only take a few seconds.
Jack, Vic! Mr. Williamson's coming. But he said he doesn't know whether he can get us started or not. No way of getting fuel to the engine.
Yes, there is, Billy. Those barrels up on top. We can run a hose. This steam hose to the fuel valve. Where is he?
I ran ahead of him, Jack. He should be here right away.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on.
Good night. Let's hope the rest of the train stays on the track.
Jack, we almost
tipped over. That curve must have been plenty sharp.
Not as bad as some of those ahead. Come on, Billy, lend us a hand with this crate.
Okay, Jack, okay.
Where is Williamson?
Gee whiz, he was right behind me, Vic.
Good night, Vic. I just thought of something. Air. Air has to rush in this end of the turbojet or we're sunk.
I thought of that, Jack. We can scoop in enough air from that opening up above. Use this heavy tarpaulin as a funnel.
I better go back and see where Mr. Williamson is.
Yeah, Billy, go ahead. Something might have happened to him.
How's that, Jack? That's provoking?
Yeah, that's swell, fellas. Now, why don't you grab that tarpaulin, fold it over about four times, and tie one end of it to those beams up there.
Okay, Jack. Come on, guys.
We can tie the other end securely to these floor braces. The entire train must have made that curve all right. I didn't hear any crash.
Yeah, but what about the curves ahead? Say, Jack, look, we're in luck. This engine's all ready to install. There's a fuel line valve. I'll clamp this hose on it and run the other end of the barrel.
Hard up! Tight to the beam! Tight to the beam!
Hold on, everybody! Hold on! We're going into another curve!
Watch it, Jack! Watch it!
We're right back!
Please make it. I hope we don't turn over.
The rear end of this train must be whipping around like a snake. Oh, good night. Betty's back there.
Kirby, watch his balance and struck his head. What are we going to do now?
Oh, we'll just have to get this engine started ourselves. How much longer is this curve? Grab hold of something, Billy. Vic, I have a good hold here. I'll fasten this end of the hose. You get the other end.
All right, man. Now we get back to work. Please level off.
We must be doing 90 miles an hour now, Jack. We'll never make the next curve. We'll never make it.
I think you're right, Billy, unless we get this engine started. Give those men a hand to the canvas there, Billy.
Okay, Jack.
Vic, I don't know how to get this engine started, do you?
Yeah, unless it's apparently different from all the rest of the turbojets. I'll be over there in a few seconds, as soon as I get this hose fastened.
Feverishly, the men work, getting the turbojet engine ready for operation. The seconds are split by the ever-increasing tempo of the click of those wheels. Through the open end of the boxcar, our friends can see the roadbed racing toward them, the evenly spaced ties, nervous blur rushing under them. And far ahead, they see the careening engine as it goes into a long, rounded curve.
Jack! Vic! Look! The engine! It's tipping! It's tipping!
Yes, 1 second it was clinging desperately to the tracks, and the next it was leaning out into space, and then crashing down the side of the mountain, a tangled mass of iron and steel.
Jack! I'm all right. I'm all right.
Oh, thank goodness, Frank.
Come on, come on. Get this engine started. If we hit that curve ahead, we'll all be killed.
Yeah.
We'll begin at that, Jack. This valve, this one. Only take a second for the fuel to get in there.
That tarpaulin should scoop it up air in, shouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Open the lid up there.
Come on, fellas. Push it up. Push it up.
You gotta hurry, Mr. Williamson. You gotta hurry. That curve's only about a half a mile old. You gotta hurry.
There we are. I think it's all ready now, Jack. Here we go.
This is the greatest test your engine will ever get, Mr. Williamson.
We're setting fire to those ties as we're rolling over them.
Yeah, but we're slowing down, I think.
It's wide open. Wide open.
Not over 200 yards before the curve, but we are slowing down. It's working, Frank. It's working.
Vic, we're slowing down.
Watch out, Billy. Watch out. Pull that fuel right out of that barrel.
Oh, boy, was it close. But look, Vic. Look, you can see the ties now. You can almost count them. Boy, aren't they pretty. Mr. Williamson, you've got a great little engine here. A great little engine.
You bet you have it and saved the lives of some of America's greatest scientists. We're actually stopping.
Oh, we should all be thankful you thought of this, Jack. I better reduce the speed so we can get down out of these mountains safely without setting fire to the train.
Listen Monday at the same time for another complete adventure with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Brought to you by Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. And tomorrow morning, start your day the way so many famous coaches and athletes do. Eat Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're more wheat with all of the bran.
Listen Monday through Friday to your ABC station from 5:30 to 6. Make this the most exciting half hour of your day. Tomorrow, a thrilling story with Sky King called The Motive is Revenge. And Monday, another famous Jack Armstrong champion adventure story. Yes, make 5:30 to 6 on ABC the most exciting time of the day. This is Bob McKee speaking for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
Can you imagine having nothing but rags to wear? Not even being able to play outside because you didn't have enough clothes to keep you warm? Well, listen, millions of children in countries overseas are dressed in rags right now. And that's why the Girl Scouts of the USA are devoting this whole year to a project called Clothes for Friendship. They've promised to send 100,000 complete sets of clothing to the needy children of Europe and Asia. So won't you girls, and fellows too, won't you help the Girl Scouts make good on their promise? Offer your services to your local Girl Scouts today. They'll appreciate it.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.